Well, if you can see the picture behind me, it's a picture of a bunch of dry bones. And over the dry bones are the words "prophesy to them." So with that in mind, you probably recognize this is a message from Ezekiel chapter 37. Which is one of the most well-known prophecies in the entire Old Testament. Few other passages, though, have suffered from the extremes of interpreters like this passage. Some see too much in this passage, and others don't see enough. Those who see too much in this passage see more than what is there. And those who don't see enough in this passage miss the symbolism and the types that are spelled out here in Ezekiel chapter 37. This passage employs what is called an apocalyptic form of writing. The book of Daniel has apocalyptic writing in it. Isaiah had apocalyptic writing. And the book of Revelation definitely has apocalyptic writing in which there's much symbolism. And it's sort of like poetry. Much of it is not meant to be taken literally, but symbolically. Now, whether you know it or not, the Assemblies of God are dispensationalists. And dispensationalism means we see dispensations in God's dealings with man. And dispensationalism tends to have a motto. And that motto is, if you can interpret it literally, then do so. But if it doesn't make sense to interpret it literally, then you have to take it symbolically. And the motto is, if the literal sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. If the literal sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. But the literal sense does not make sense in this passage, so you have to see the symbolism in it. Many people think that this is referring to the resurrection of the dead in Christ. It is not. The passage explains what it is about later on. Ezekiel's purpose was not to teach the doctrine of the resurrection, which is mostly a New Testament doctrine. The Jews actually thought of a place called heaven, but they didn't think much about a resurrection of the dead in which they would come back to live on the earth. Ezekiel was not attempting to teach personal resurrection or individual resurrection, but he was teaching a resurrection in this prophecy. He was teaching a resurrection of a nation. And he spells it out very plainly later in the passage. The people in Ezekiel's day saw their nation as either dead or dying. They saw their nation as a valley of dry bones. They were already in the Babylonian captivity. They were already taken captive. And they were becoming as dead as a pile of bones. Dry bones. But this prophecy, back in about 600 AD, saw about 2,500 years into the future and saw what God was going to do. And the fulfillment of this prophecy has taken place in your lifetime. It's not totally fulfilled yet, but much of it has been. So let's read Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, that thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So first, in verse 1, it says, God carried Ezekiel to a valley that was full of bones. So, we don't know how the bones got there. Some people have conjectured that the bones got there from some kind of war, some great battle. I believe that the bones got there over hundreds and even thousands of years of time. I believe the valley was simply a place where many people passed by. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how these bones got here, but we know how the prophet got there. It says the hand of the Lord carried him there in verse 1. The hand of the Lord carried him there in the spirit. Then look at verse 2. Then God caused Ezekiel to pass by them round about. Now this is real interesting to me, because I know Ezekiel was a prophet, but I also know that Ezekiel was a Judean priest. He was a temple priest. And because he was a temple priest, he would be unclean and unable to fulfill his priesthood if he touched any of those bones. And so here he is walking around in a valley full of bones. So, it was forbidden for him to accidentally step on a bone that was mostly covered in dirt. And that's potentially what could happen, it would seem, if you're walking through a valley of dry bones. So God put him out there in the middle of all of these bones and made him walk. Made him walk around. Made him inspect it. Notice the last part of verse 2. It says, the bones were very dry. There were very many, and they were very dry. So how dry do you think a bone would be if it was 2,500 years old? Huh? That'd be pretty old, wouldn't it? Pretty dry. Probably mostly gone. So, God is setting things up for a miracle. We've got a valley that is full of dry bones. And God's about to tell this prophet to prophesy to them. They're so dry that they've been there 2,500 years. And Ezekiel has said, prophesy to them. God told Ezekiel, prophesy to them. Anybody ever been told to witness to somebody, you know, just the Spirit of God rises up in you and says, I want you to testify to this person, and you look at them and you just say, oh, they're just a spiritual zombie. They're just dry, dead bones. There's no way. They have no spirit in them at all. That's how you feel about them. There's no way that I could be successful in witnessing to them. Why would I even waste my time? You ever felt that way? I wonder if that's how Ezekiel felt when he looked out upon the valley of dry bones. He just thought, oh, those are dry, dead bones. Why would I want to prophesy to those? Nothing but dry bones. Israel disappeared as a nation for over 1,800 years. They were gone. No nation in history has ever come back from such disintegration. No nation in history has ever been reconstituted after being gone for so many years. Never. Nothing but dry bones. Impossible to everyone that Israel would ever be a nation again. I was reading a sermon on this passage from C.H. Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon preached his sermon in 1864. Now, I'm not preaching his sermon this morning, but I did read it. I like to see what other people say about things. Spurgeon preached in 1864, and he predicted that Israel would be a nation again, because that's what the Bible predicted. Now, here we are in 2021, and we can look back, and we can see when Israel became a nation. We have it on our calendar. We have it in our history books. We know it's already happened. Ezekiel knew it was going to happen too, 2,500 years ago. It was impossible. Any suggestion that there could ever again be life in those dry, dead bones of the nation of Israel, it just seemed absurd. Verse 3. God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? Notice his response. Lord, you're the only one who knows. Only you know, God. Only God can do it. If Israel could become a nation again after 1,800 years, only God could do it. So notice God's response. Verse 4. Prophesy to them. Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy to them. Hear the word of the Lord. Basically, what God is telling Ezekiel is, if you think these bones can live, then prophesy to them. Don't you think there was something inside of Ezekiel's mind that said, that's absurd? This can't happen. This is not going to happen. That's impossible. Don't you think there was something in his mind that was negative about all of this, looking at those dry bones? The message that he was supposed to deliver was a very simple one. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 4, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let's pick up in verse 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was, excuse me, but there was no breath in them. So Ezekiel prophesies, and after he prophesies, there is a shaking, and it says that there was a coming together, a noise, a shaking, and a coming together in verse 7. But there was no life in them. No breath in them. I think that is where Israel is today as a nation. I think she has come together. I think there is flesh on her. I think there is skin on that nation. But there is no breath in her yet. It's sort of like the difference between something that is alive and something that is only lively. Israel is very lively today. She has a lot of motion and commotion. There's a lot of things going on in and around Israel. But there's no real spiritual life in her yet. That's yet to happen. No breath in those bones yet. You know, a puppet is very lively, but it has no life in it. There's a big difference between a child and a puppet. A child has breath. And a puppet only moves around. Ezekiel prophesied in 600 BC, and Israel came together in the 1900s. But there is no breath in Israel. She's not a spiritual nation yet. That is yet to come. And I think it's wise that Ezekiel did not mistake commotion for regeneration. He pointed out that there was no breath in it. Even today, the flesh can generate activity, but true revival cannot take the place of the Spirit. True revival only comes by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 9 now. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So here they are, they're out there in the valley. The bones have flesh, they have skin, they have sinew, connecting tissue. They're all ready to go. And then God says, prophesy to the wind. Now, that may seem strange to you, coming into English, but in the Hebrew word is ruach, for wind. It just so happens that the same word that is translated wind is also translated breath. Prophesy to the breath. Not only that, the same word that is translated spirit is the same word that is translated breath and wind. So the ruach is the spirit, it is the breath, it is the wind. They had no breath in them, they had no wind in them, they had no spirit in them. And so God's telling Ezekiel, prophesy to the Holy Spirit to come upon them. He's not commanding the Holy Spirit. He's just opening the door for what the Spirit is about to do. Come, Spirit. That's basically what he's saying. You know, we have a lot of movies today that have zombies in them. You know? How many of you have seen zombie movies? And in the zombie movies, they have these people that walk around all stiff, and they have really no mind, you know. They don't make plans for tomorrow. You know, there's nothing about them that would say that they're long-term beings. But they're interested in eating. For some reason, zombies do a lot of eating and killing on TV. But that's about all they know. And zombies are dead people walking around. And that's what I see in this valley of dry bones, when the skin comes on them and the flesh comes on them, and they're just walking around, but they have no spirit in them yet. They're like zombies. They're just going after the bodily functions, the bodily necessities. But something is about to change their attitude. And that's what's going to happen in the nation of Israel. And I'll share with you in just a moment why I believe that. Let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 11 first. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I told you this is Israel. I told you this is the national resurrection. I will cause you to come into the land of Israel. See, he says, I'm going to bring you back to your land. I'm going to reconstitute you as a nation. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to bring you into your land, and I'm going to put my spirit within you. So here we see a prophecy concerning what the Lord is doing with the people of Israel as he brings them back to their land. And Israel returned to their land. They were given freedom to return to their land, I should say, with the Balfour Declaration that happened after World War I. But they, most of them didn't go back. Mostly they ignored it until the Holocaust in World War II, in which 6 million Jews were killed. And then they decided it was time to go find their own homeland. And Israel really started to become a nation after that, after 1948, the end of World War II. You've seen the pictures in the history books of the open graves where 6 million Jews were slaughtered in the Holocaust. You know about that. But out of that, the Lord began to work. The heart of the world became sympathetic toward the Jews. The homeland was carved out of the Middle East. And spiritually, the Jews may remain in a zombie-like state, but the Spirit's going to come upon them someday. He's going to come on them someday. When will that happen? I believe it'll happen after the rapture of the church. When the church is taken up to heaven, I believe the Holy Spirit will then come upon the Jews. I believe every Jew will be saved. I believe that based on Romans 11:26, which says, so shall all Israel be saved. And you've heard of the 144,000? How many of you are familiar with that term, 144,000? Do you know that it says the 144,000 are all Jews? In the book of Revelation, it talks about the 144,000, and it says they're all Jews. There's 12,000 from each of 12 tribes. And do you know what the 144,000 do? It says they love the Lamb. They're followers of the Lamb. 144,000 Jews, they're virgins, and they follow the Lamb. Now, I know you have these guys who come around who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and they try to tell you that they know who the 144,000 are, but you get their list, you know, and you start going through the 144,000 who, you know, they've had over 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses who have died and passed on already, who they claim were part of that 144,000. And most of them were not virgins. And I would say none of them followed the Lamb of God of this scripture. They followed a false doctrine instead of the Lamb. So the 100, and they're not Jews. The 144,000 in the book of Revelation are going to be Jews. They're going to be followers of the Lamb. And they're going to be soul winners. They're going to be soul winners. The Bible says there's going to be 10 Gentiles for every Jew getting saved. Now, I don't know how many Jews we have in the world today, but there's millions. And we have 144,000 Billy Grahams right after the rapture who are going to be going around winning souls like crazy. And there is going to be a tremendous increase in God's kingdom. A lot of people are looking for the coming of the beast. And they're afraid of the mark of the beast. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm not afraid of the mark of the beast because I'll be gone before the mark ever shows up. It doesn't come till after the rapture. And not only that, the beast is not all he's cut out to be. Because there are going to be people getting saved by the millions while the beast is trying to do his thing, while the devil is trying to do his best, while this plan that the devil has been working on ever since the beginning of man, while he's doing his best with his best plan that he's worked on and strategized over for all of these millenniums, while he's doing his best, God's going to be saving. He's going to be leading people to Christ in tremendous numbers. And these formerly dry bones are going to be in the very middle of all of it. So, the Holy Spirit is going to come and move in Israel in a powerful way. The entire nation is going to be saved. 144,000 evangelists are going to be raised up. How does this prophecy relate to you? What does this mean to you? As an individual Christian, what does it mean to you? I want you to think about another passage just for a moment, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said his word will not return to him void. Amen? So no matter how dead the bones are in the valley, God's word will not return to him void. No matter how messed up Israel seemed at one time and how impossible it seemed, God's word would not return void. He will accomplish what he sent his word to accomplish. Let's think back for a moment. God picks Ezekiel up and places him out in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And then he says, prophesy. Prophesy to them. Can we go back to the original picture at the start? Prophesy to them. What do you think Ezekiel felt about that? Huh? Can you place yourself in Ezekiel's shoes for a moment? How would you feel? Hopeless? Can't do it. It's absurd. Why would I do this? But who put him there? God did. Ezekiel was probably thinking, Lord, you put me in the wrong place. I'm not cut out for this. You got the wrong guy. I'm not the right guy for this job. What can we learn from that? Don't question the divine wisdom that sets you down right where you are. He put you there. He put you there. And he has you right where he wants you. God's word does not return to him void, so what are you supposed to do with it? You know, there are a lot of different meanings to the word prophesy. One of the meanings of prophesy is to simply preach. And to preach doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a pulpit. You can preach on the street. You can preach one-on-one. You can preach by simply opening this book up and sharing a simple verse of scripture with somebody. You can preach by simply memorizing a verse out of that book and sharing it with somebody. Because the words of this book, they will not return void. They will accomplish what God has sent them for. So when you look around and you see yourself in what you think is a hopeless situation, and you're thinking in terms of eternity, I'm not going to have much reward in heaven because, man, God didn't put me in the right place. No, God has you right where he wants you. He has you right where he wants you. And he expects you to prophesy to them. Share his word with them. And it will not return void. No matter how dry those bones may be, no matter how impossible the situation may seem, no matter how bad the circumstances may look to you, God put you there. And he wants you to prophesy to those dry bones. And he will bring healing and life and the filling of the Holy Spirit to those who are around you. He'll eventually transform that valley of dry bones. And it will become a triumphant army. And those bones will rise up and become a part of this one body that we call the body of Christ. And so, I encourage you. Prophesy to them. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. It's not your job to make it happen. It's your job to simply prophesy to them. It's not your job to lift the bone up and find some way to put some flesh on it. It's your job to prophesy to them. It's not your job to give it a blood transfusion. It's not your job to make something out of the bone. It's merely your job to prophesy to them. And God will take care of the rest. God will do his job. He'll do his job. You know, when I came to this church 5 years ago, 13 people. one of the previous pastors used the word dry bones. I said, I don't care. God sent me here, and I'm going to preach Jesus to them. And I'm going to encourage them. And we're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do some great things for God. And we're going to be a triumphant army in the name of the Lord. We're not going to back down. We're not going to back up. We're not even going to look back. We're going to go forward. And we're going to prophesy. And we're going to do what God says. And let God take care of the rest. Can I have a good amen? Stand with me as we pray.